So, you're going to use a zucchini, right?
Zucchini, yeah.
Basically, I'm thinking they can't do you for using a weapon or going equipped or whatever if all you've got in your pocket is a vegetable, see? Toby lifted his Pernod and Perrier to his lips and kissed it. Then he put it down again. I picked up my pint of bitters, stuffed half of it down my throat and slapped the glass back on the table. I've got nothing against people who don't drink, but what I can't stand is someone who doesn't drink properly. I mean, why go to a pub if you're not thirsty?
A zucchini, I said. That's what, a courgette?
Okay, right, a courgette, yeah, sorry, I should have said. And let me get this straight, this is because of your mortgage.
Please, please, don't even say that word.
I mean, we're not talking mortgage here, we're talking mega mortgage. This isn't just a mortgage, yeah, this is the mortgage that ate the West. I don't know what we're supposed to call these types now, these people who used to be yuppies. Rapsids, perhaps? Rapidly sinking idiots who thought their luck would last forever? Toby's luck had run out later than some and heavier than most. I think this was because even by yuppie standards, he wasn't all that bright. I don't care how solid the property market looks or how much the bank pays its vice presidents. No one with a fully functioning brain takes on a £500,000 mortgage at age 27. Anyone who does, if you ask me, deserves to lose his home 14 months later. Why are you telling me this, Toby? Not that it isn't very interesting and everything, but if you want to stick up a betting shop with an American Marrow, just go ahead and do it. I'll read about it in the local paper when you get sent down. What do you want from me, the name of a bent greengrocer? I don't know. A word of encouragement? He had to be kidding. Not that I disliked Toby Reynolds. In fact, as an example of his breed, he wasn't too bad. Word in the pub was he'd even been heard to crack a joke once or twice. After he was laid off, obviously, not before. But I first knew this place in the 70s, when Margaret Thatcher was just a crazy woman on the TV. There were no mobile phones or personal organisers. People didn't drink bottled French water in pubs, and estate agents didn't have swimming pools. I won't pretend they were great days, but at least the area had a bit of tone back then. Hampstead, as any local will tell you, is a village. True, London is only a few minutes away by tube, but in spirit, it's on a different planet. To succeed in the area, you only had to be one thing, a character. Same as any English village, right? You could be rich, or you could be poor. You could be a pop star, a librarian, or a Zoroastrian priest, just as long as you were interesting to know. That's the sort of place it is. Or used to be, before the mid-80s, when all the yups moved in. And now, if the mysterious revolutions of the money markets were forcing them out again, I wasn't going to complain. Cheer, maybe. Declare a public holiday, but not complain. Well, Toby, me old son, I wish you all the luck. And if you get banged up, I'll send you a postcard of the Heath to remind you of happier days. I stood up. A few of the serious darts players had arrived, and I was eager to get into the game.
Yeah, sure, mate. Just wait a second. There's more. I know how I can make certain I get away with the robbery and, at the same time, pin it on Danny Royal.
He smiled smugly.
Why don't I buy you a drink, yeah, while I run it by you?
I sat down. I can play darts any night. A chance to frame Danny Royal only comes along once in a lifetime. I won't bore you with what there was between me and Danny, except to say that it went back about a dozen years, and it involved a knife, a broken arm, a deposit on a studio flat that wasn't actually for rent, and an innocent country boy. Danny was definitely old Hampstead, an interesting character, you had to give him that. But if I could hurt him by helping one of the yuppie invaders, then I didn't have to think twice about whose side I was on. And besides, the man has a right to pay his mortgage, doesn't he? Thus, on the morning of the great Hampstead bookie blag, Toby and I met in a tarted-up coffee shop just across the high street from the betting shop. As Toby sat down next to me, I spoke to him out of the side of my mouth.
"You got the piece, Bugsy?"
"Oh, yeah, sure," said my accomplice, loud as you like. The zucchini's right here in this brown paper bag. Got yours?
Don't wave it around, stupid.
Why? It's only a vegetable. You can't be arrested for waving a vegetable around a cafe.
I just don't want my face associated with your face, or your vegetable, or your brown paper bag in the memory of any lurking witness, all right?
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, mate. I wasn't thinking.
He did think for a moment. I could see his ears turning pink.
You recognised me straight away.
I was expecting you. Don't worry about that. You look just like him. His own mistress would be fooled. It was true. The false moustache looked fine. The clothes were spot on. Camelier overcoat, smart denim shirt and leather tie. Expensive black jeans. He'd do. Then he really surprised me.
Listen, do you have any, you know, moral qualms about any of this?
Morals? Wow. This poor lad hadn't just lost his yuppie job, he'd lost his entire yuppie code.
You mean the stick-up or the frame-up?
Well, both, I suppose. I mean, this isn't really my sort of scene, right? I used to be in banking.
Exactly, I said. So whatever you do today can't be half as wicked as what you've been doing for the past 10 years. Now, get up. It's time to go.
He got up, put on his dark glasses and began walking towards the door.
Hey, Toby, I called after him.
Yeah?
He looked back expectantly, like a dog about to get a tickle on the tummy for luck.
You forgot your courgette.
Moral qualms.
Sure, I had qualms, but nothing I couldn't handle. The bookies would be insured, there wasn't really a gun, so no one could get hurt. And as for Danny Royal, if law and order was a real thing, he'd have been in solitary confinement since the age of 6. Danny's office was located very conveniently above an off-license, a few doors down from the betting shop which my confederate Toby was about to rob with a zucchini in a paper bag. Quite why a villain needs an office instead of, say, a low dive or a murky alley, I couldn't imagine.
Good morning, Danny. How's tricks?
Danny was alone, as I'd been sure he would be so early. Even so, I was relieved. He didn't look surprised to see me, which irritated me somewhat.
What are you doing here?
He was concentrating on his paperwork now. He wasn't looking at me. He looked at me once already, and he didn't see any need to look at me again.
I'm here to bring you a little gift. Something I thought you'd like. Here, Danny, catch.
I chucked the paper bag at him. A zucchini doesn't weigh much, but it makes you feel awfully silly if it bounces off your head when you're not expecting it. The only man in the world that I really hated sprang out of his swivel chair and screamed,
"What's your game? Just exactly what is occurring, you grubby little..."
He was going to call me something rude. I knew he was, so I hit him quite hard in the right eye. I was just wondering what was going to happen next and watching Danny Royal sprawl across his desk howling when the office door opened and a tough-looking kid of about 18 walked in. I froze, like a string bean all alone in a catering-sized deep freeze. I knew this kid. He worked on a stall in the community market. More to the point, he knew me.
"So, what was all that about?"
the barrow boy asked me as I hustled him out of the street door.
"I was just coming up to pay my rent to the King Rat. Did you floor him?"
Yeah, listen, Nigel, it's very important that nobody finds out about this, you understand? Absolutely nobody. Not about the fight, not even that I was there, okay? You with me, Nigel? I was pretty sure he hadn't seen the zucchini in the bag which had rolled under Royal's desk, but I didn't want anybody who could place me in the office when the cops started asking questions. So I gave Nigel a brief but tastefully dramatised version of my long-standing grudge against his landlord.
"Don't worry, mate. Anyone who thumps that piece of filth is okay with me. You have any idea what rent he charges me and my girl for one room and a shared lav? It's disgusting, I'm telling you. It's diabolical."
We parted in the street with a heartfelt handshake. As I'd hoped, Nigel was thoroughly outraged on my behalf. I'd not only silenced a potentially hostile witness, I'd made a friend for life. I ran to the phone booth at the top of the hill, jabbed out 3 9s on the dial and told the police that the man who'd just robbed the bookmakers in Hampstead High Street, armed with a suspicious bulge in a paper bag, was a certain Danny Royal, known criminal. I'd heard him planning it in the pub the night before. Nope, I wasn't willing to give my name. He'd kill me if he knew I'd grassed him up. Just get there quickly. I was sure he wouldn't have ditched the weapon yet. His address? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did know his address. Toby Reynolds, ex-banker, ex-yuppie, one-time stick-up merchant, is currently serving 3 years in Ford Open Prison. It's true what they say. The rich never do hard time. Not even when they're not rich anymore. He got away from the bookies with 5,000 quid. Enough to keep a chap like him in comfort for, at least 3 months. If he hadn't blown a good 1,000 of it in one night's champagne quaffing with his old pals from the city at a wine bar right here in Hampstead. And if he hadn't, when deeply in his cup, snatched the courgette, sorry, zucchini, from a passing waiter's tray and proceeded to point it around the room shouting, "Bang, bang, give us all the dosh!" while standing on a table. I said he wasn't very bright, didn't I? I still think he might have got away with it if the frame-up had worked out better. It wasn't a great plan, but the cops were hot to nail Danny Royal and would have found a way of stitching him up somehow. But when they got to his office, they found him unconscious, covered in blood, and badly in need of emergency treatment. By the time he was fit to answer questions, he had more lawyers hanging off him than IV drips, and all the police had was an anonymous tip-off, a 6-inch fruit, and a brown paper bag. As evidence, he didn't amount to a hill of beans. Royal must have known it was Nigel the barrow boy who injured him so thoroughly. Nigel, who, disgusted by my tale of treachery and by his own experiences with the King Rat, and figuring me correctly for the largely non-violent type, had decided to do us all a favour. He'd gone back up to the office as soon as I was out of sight, and given Danny a very, very deep massage. Royal must know, but I don't think there's much he can do about it. Nigel comes from a big, close family, well endowed with big, close brothers, uncles and cousins, and an even bigger, closer grandmother. I think he's safe. I think I'm safe as well. Toby the Yup may not be very clever, and he may not be my kind of people, but he knows about keeping his mouth shut. Toby will be out before long, and I'm going to try and get him a job. Maybe in one of the local boozers. After all, he's one of us now, kind of. I see Nigel in this pub or that about 3 or 4 times a week. The first dozen or so occasions he would give me a conspiratorial wink and send over a drink with his compliments. And that got embarrassing after a time, so now, when our paths cross, I try to get my conspiratorial wink and complimentary pint in first. Well, why not? Like I always say, Hampstead is a village. This is how people behave in villages.
The Hampstead Vegetable Heist was written by Matt Coward and read by Larry Lamb. The producer was Hilary Field.